And the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
Today is the fourth Sunday of the Coptic month of Hathor, and the gospel is about the rich young ruler. We'll just repeat a few of the verses from the beginning of the reading. As he was going on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack: go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The gospel this morning is not really ultimately about money or about riches, but it is about the path to Christian perfection. And what I want to contemplate with you this morning are two points that are related in what our Lord said to this young man. When Jesus, looking at him and he loved him, he said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way and sell whatever you have." One thing you lack, sell whatever you have. And these two parts in this one verse really are two sides of the same coin. The first one is a recognition that I lack, that I am in need. And the second one is a recognition that I need to sell those things which I'm attached to in this world. I am in need, and yet I need to sell or to detach myself from those things that I'm attached to in the world. One thing you lack, the Lord said to him. The basis for Christian perfection is always poverty of spirit. We should never stand before Christ and say, "I have done, I have done, I have done," or to stand before him and say, "I am good." But we should always stand before Christ as one who is naked, as one who is hungry, as one who is blind, as one who is paralyzed. Because this was the fundamental problem of the Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee in the New Testament, the Gospel stories, the Pharisee was one who was known for his works, and it wasn't wrong that he had works. He was known for his obedience to the law, and it wasn't wrong that he was obedient to the law. But the problem of the Pharisee was always his self-righteousness and his hypocrisy. And the Lord explained to us this problem in one of his parables in the Gospel of St. Luke. St. Luke tells us, before he spoke this gospel, this parable, he said he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. This parable was given to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And then the Lord told the story of the Pharisee and the publican who went into the temple to pray. And you know the story, the Pharisee stood before God saying, "I fast, I pray, I give my tithes. I do, I do, I do. I give these things. I have done such and such. And I'm also thankful, Lord, that I'm not like sinners. I did not commit adultery, I did not murder, I did not do these things." And the publican stood in the corner, beating his chest, saying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And the Lord said, "Which one of these two left the temple justified?" And it wasn't the Pharisee. It wasn't because the Pharisee fasted and prayed, and it wasn't because the Pharisee didn't commit adultery and didn't murder and do these things. These were good things. But it was because he said, "I am good." We should never stand before Christ and say, "I am good." Because as soon as we see ourselves as good, then what? We will see others as what? As bad. And this was the problem of the Pharisee. And all of the miracles of Christ in the New Testament, all of the miracles of Christ, whether he healed the blind, or he healed the paralyzed, or whether he raised from the dead, or whether he fed the hungry and gave drink to those who were thirsty, all of these things in a mystical way point to the divine grace that we are striving for ourselves in the New Covenant. There is no divine grace for the one who is clothed There is no divine grace for the one who hears, the one who sees, the one who is filled. There is only divine grace for the blind, the paralyzed, and the one who is dead. Christ himself said this. He said, I did not come for those who were well and those who were righteous. I came for those who were sick. If you are well, if I am well, then we have no need for the grace of Christ. We have no need for the divine grace in our lives. And this is what this young man lacked. This is what we lack. One of the great saints of our times, Pope Cyrillus VI, a wonder worker, a man of prayer, but mostly what shocks us when we read about his life was his deep poverty of spirit, was his deep humility, was that, and I remember one of our fathers explained it so well, he said, he was a beggar. He was a beggar. You know, a beggar stands on the road, naked, admitting to everybody that he has nothing and begging for something. And the saints were like this. They begged for divine grace. And the only way to beg for divine grace is to empty yourself, is to admit and to truly be poor in spirit. And again, this gospel is not about material riches, because who in the life of the church, they are very famous saints in the life of our church, fulfilled this command of our Lord literally? St. Anthony the Great. Right? St. Anthony the Great was in church and he heard the gospel where the Lord said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give your money to the poor, come take up your cross and follow me. And he did that and he spent his life in the desert. So according to the gospel, we might think that St. Anthony then reached perfection because he did literally what the Lord commanded. But it's amazing, in the life of St. Anthony, we read that one day he was praying, and a voice came to him, and he told him, Anthony, you are not yet like a tanner in the city who has reached a higher level than you. So St. Anthony got up immediately, and he left the desert to go find this tanner. And when he found him, he asked him, tell me about your work. And he said to St. Anthony, I'm not aware that I have done anything good. When I get up in the morning, before I sit down to my work, this is somebody now living in the world, I say that the whole of this city, both small and great, will enter into the kingdom of God because of their good deeds, while I alone will go to eternal punishment because of my evil deeds. Every evening, I repeat the same words, and I believe them in my heart. So every morning and every evening, he saw everybody else as good, and he saw himself as in need, as one who was guilty. And yet everybody else he saw as somebody who would enter into the kingdom of God. So when St. Anthony heard this, again, St. Anthony, the one who fulfilled the gospel commandment and left everything, he said, my son, you sit in your house, and you work very well, and you have the peace of the kingdom of God. But I spend all my time in solitude with no distractions, and I have not come near the measure of such words. So you see, it is not riches, it is not money, it is poverty of spirit. It is recognizing, first and foremost, like this young man, we lack. So let us never say that we are good because we go to church, we fast, we pray, we go to the liturgy, we do all of these things. But let us always say, I have done, and yet, Lord, I have done nothing. Fill me with your divine grace so that I might begin to do good. Again, one of the stories, there was a prince who went hunting in the wilderness. And when he was in the wilderness, he met a hermit. And the hermit asked him, what are you doing? And the prince answered, I am hunting for animals. And the hermit said, yes, and I am hunting for God. So this is our purpose in life, that we, like this hermit, do not hunt for the things of the world, but that we hunt for God. To hunt for God means to seek Him, to ask Him to fill you with the divine grace. And one can only do this when he empties himself, when he recognizes that he is in need. The second part we said, which was the second side of the same coin, was when the Lord said, go your way, sell whatever you have. Again, the problem is not money. The problem was attachments. This man was attached to his possessions. these attachments, these possessions for him became more important than fulfilling the commandments of God. They became more of an idol, they became what he worshipped in truth and reality. But we shouldn't blame him, because all of us have idols. Every one of us has our heart in some place that is in this world that is not ultimately in God. The Lord said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Anything that we are attached to in this world, whether material or immaterial, will become for us an idol, and will ultimately become a substitute for our relationship, for our attachment with God. One of the fathers said, not that he had great possessions, but that he was possessed by his possessions. Again, it wasn't that he had possessions, but that it was his possessions which possessed him, and ultimately didn't allow him to follow the Lord. I said attachments, material and immaterial. The material ones are obvious. Money, riches, possessions, food, our appearance, other physical pleasures. But what about the immaterial? There are many attachments that we have that are things not visible and things not seen. Honor, power, our egos, achievement, success. All of these things can be good. And all of these things can be things that we achieve with the blessing of God in our lives. But at the same time, if we become attached to these things, if we are enslaved to honor, if we are enslaved to our egos, if we are enslaved to pride, if we are enslaved to success even, then they become for us what our goal in life is, rather than becoming attached to Christ our Lord. So, Christian perfection then consists of renouncing all of these attachments. Again, one of the saints said, any love that we give to the earth is love taken away from God. Any love that we give to the earth is love taken away from God. And another one said, detach yourselves from creatures, meaning the creation, the things of this world. Detach yourselves from this creation. Then you will find God. And many times in our lives, we feel that we don't find God in our lives. We don't feel God's presence in our lives. And the saints tell us, usually it's because we have become attached to something, that we have to let go of that attachment before we can see the blessing of God in our lives, before we can feel His presence in our lives. This young ruler today was, in the very beginning, was very willing and very ready to follow Christ. He was eager. And he admitted that, Lord, I have kept all of these commandments. But as soon as the Lord asked him to detach himself from that which was really his idol, in other words, as soon as it cost him something, in other words, as soon as it meant a cross, then he went away sorrowful. And we have to be very careful that we don't do the same thing. That we don't follow Christ only to the point where it's comfortable. Only to the point when he doesn't ask us to give up the things that we really love in this world. In other words, I love to fast, but only if I can fast without really giving up the pleasures of eating, and I can substitute things where I still feel like I'm filling myself. I love to go to the church as long as it's only one day a week or twice a week, and only if it's easy on my schedule. I love to pray as long as I'm not tired and I don't have a better program to watch on TV. I love to follow the commandments up until I have to carry my cross in following the commandments. And this is what happened to this young rich ruler today. And we, like him, sometimes become sad when Christ asks us to give up our freedom in this world in order to follow him. One of the saints said, how destructive to the heart is even a momentary attachment for anything earthly. It is destructive to our hearts when we become attached to anything earthly. And sometimes we are not even aware of what those attachments are. Because, like I said, some of them are material things, which are obvious, but some of them are immaterial things. So how do we discover ourselves, and how do we know within our hearts what are truly our attachments so that we can be set free? And we need to pray, and we need to ask Christ to reveal it to us, just as this young ruler today asked, what do I lack? And the Lord responded to him with the words that made him sorrowful. So, if you are unsure of what things you are truly attached to in this world, ask God to reveal to you your heart, ask him to reveal to you the true nature of your condition, your spiritual condition, and the divine grace will help us to see ourselves, will help us to realize what we truly are. St. Isaac the Syrian says, the one who sees himself is greater than the one who sees the angels. The one who sees himself, in other words, if I really know who I am, then I am more blessed than the one who has visions of the angels. This is an amazing thing. So, finally, in this season of fasting, when we are preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ into the Lord, into the world, Christ, our Lord into the world, we should ask him during this time of prayer and fasting to reveal to us what these attachments are, and ask him to give us the grace with poverty of spirit, as all the saints did, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.